Aloha. Ahi, ahi. Amen. Amen. I'm married to an Hawaiian, so I got to know at least some Hawaiian words, right? Amen. Well, let's just pray once again. Oh, Father, we thank you that we are a new creature in Christ. Father, we did not know you before. We did not have a covenant with you before. But thank be to God that now we do. That we can come and worship you and in spirit and in truth, fathers. Lord, so tonight, Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity, Lord God, to hear from you. Lord, we thank you that we are so loved by you. But we are here, Lord God, to come to not just be loved by you, but to be able to know how to be used of you, Father. That we cannot just be loved, but we can be used of you, Father, for your glory and your honor. So we thank you tonight and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I heard this a few back, actually from one wedding. Actually, my cousin's wedding's son. Yeah, that Filipinos are the best Uber driver in the world. Yeah, you guys knew that? Yeah, they are the best Uber driver in the world. Yeah, because they're Uber there, they're all over there and all over there, you know. Hey, I got you guys laughing. Praise God. Turn to Deuteronomy 5, please. Okay, this is Moses going over the commandments of the Lord. You know, he's talking to the second generation, I believe now, because the first generation, they all died, yeah. So now he's reciting the commandments to the second generation. And I'm gonna start with verse 23, the New King James. Say, so it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while a mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. And if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Verse 26 says, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and live? So you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear to do it. So they was in fear, yeah, for hearing God's word. I mean, can you imagine hearing the voice of God, yeah, the thunder, you know, yeah? So they was, of course, fearful, yeah? But I believe God graced Moses to stand before God. Yeah, because he said, Moses said, I desire to see your glory. Yeah, yeah? But then God says, you know what? You cannot see my face, you know, because you see, no man can live seeing my face. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on this rock, on the cleft of this rock, and I'm going to pass by you, yeah? And then when I pass by you, you're going to see my goodness. So God graced Moses to stand before God, yeah, between God and the people, yeah. So he said, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. And then verse 28 says, then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. And then verse 29 says, oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them, with their children forever. Isn't that powerful? Yeah? Isn't that powerful? Amen. So verse 28 says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. Yeah. So God, man, God knows and hears all that is spoken by men. Yeah. But in this particular manner, yeah, God observed and took notice and approved and was well pleased with what his people said. Yeah. Yeah. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Amen. The first time I heard that scripture is from Jaime. Yeah. And that never goes away. Anytime we talk good about God, excuse me. I mean, there's a book is being written. Oh, they talk about me, you know. Man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So God hears what you're saying, even in private places. Okay. And then he said, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of those people which they have spoken to you. So not only he heard the sound of them, but he took notice of the sense and meaning of them and listened to them with pleasure and delight. Yeah, he delighted what they were saying. It is right. Yeah, it is right what they were saying. Okay? And verse 29 says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, of course, you know, and God knows that that's not going to happen because the heart of man is, yeah. And you guys know that. It never happened. But that God always wanted that for his people, you know, yeah. But thank God that, you know, that's why Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Yeah, he came and fulfilled that law. Because, you know, we would never be able to fulfill, you know, what God's desire for that for us that time. Yeah. Matthew 5:17-18 says, Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. See? God came to fulfill the law. I mean, Jesus. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Amen. But can you just hear? Can you just hear the heart of God, yeah, on this, when he said that on verse 29? God wanted a people who could trust him and love him. Yeah. In John 14:15, the Passion says, Jesus said, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Amen. Oh, that's powerful. Yeah? That is powerful. Loving God. You know, when you love someone, yeah? I mean, you want to do whatever, you know, necessary. Yeah, when you truly love someone. But especially God. I mean, although we didn't love God, but he loved us. Yeah. Man. So, Jesus loved the Father and was willing to go on the cross to fulfill the Father's heart's desire. Amen. So God wanted the people who would trust him, love him, fear and honor him, and worship him. Yeah. But also, God wanted a family. That was his desire all this time. He wanted a people that he could call family. Okay? And I believe that we are God's most fulfilling delight. Yeah. Amen. 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 Okay. Can you imagine this? Yeah. Wow. Before creation, the time and space. Oh, taking you someplace, right? There is God in his fullness, okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Before anything was made now, okay? They are eternally pouring out their lives for one another, okay? God the Father has his only begotten Son into whom he is pouring all his love through his Spirit, okay? Whom they are both share. Yeah. He is the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. And the Son is in return pouring his love back to the Father through his Spirit. Right? The three members, okay, of the Godhead are giving themselves to one another constantly. Okay? They are preferring one another, giving up their lives to one another. They are considering one another. They are being kind and patient with one another. That's why what that 1 Corinthians 13 is there. Yeah. They are loving one another over and over and over and over. Okay. God, as three in one, is loving one another endlessly. Okay. One day, no more day yet. God did not create day yet. Okay. Until God is unable to contain and restrain his love anymore. Yeah. The members of the Godhead had a meeting. Okay, guys, come here. You know. Okay. Amen. Saying, you know what? Let us create man. Yeah? In our image and our likeness. That's in Genesis. Yeah? 1:26. So God created male and female. He created them. Yeah? Verse 27. Isn't that awesome? Man. I mean, God just, you know, before we were created, I mean, God always had in his heart. You know, we fulfill God's desire. We fulfill his heart. And then yet turn, he fulfill us. You and I, we fulfill his heart. So in essence, God started a family because he needed to expand and pour out his love. Okay? He wanted more sons, more children. Okay, God knew that he was so wonderful and splendid and he needed his own children into whom he could pour his love and be loved in return. Amen. Yeah. This is his most fulfilling delight. He was already experiencing this in the divine relationship between the Father and the Son, but now they wanted this loving relationship to grow. Yeah, God the Father wanted more image bearers of his own life. See, we are made in God's image. Yeah, he poured his life towards us, his love towards us, so that in return we can love him back the way he loved us. Yeah, amen. God always wanted a family, and we fulfill His heart. Amen. Can you just imagine that? Yeah. That's why God, in Genesis, you know, He created man on the sixth day. But before all that, He created everything else so that man's needs can be met. Yeah? Amen. Psalm 8, verse 4 and 6, it said, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels." Okay, you guys know that the angels is a Hebrew word, is Elohim, right? Which is God. So it says, you can say that, "For you have made him a little lower than God." I did not say that. The Bible said that, yeah? "And that you have crowned him with glory and honor, and that you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet." Praise God. Yeah? So God made us a little lower than himself. Yeah? So God said that let us create or make man in our image and after our likeness. Yeah? Yeah. Notice that man did not position himself, yeah? But God made him to have dominion. But he said, "You have put all things under his feet," yeah? "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands." So God did not position himself to have dominion, but God placed him to have dominion. He made him to have dominion with the works of his hands. Amen. So, Genesis 3:8 says, God would come to the garden in the cool of the day to meet with his men. For what? To have fellowship, right? With one another, right? Yeah? That's the whole reason why he created man, actually. To have a family, to have fellowship. Yeah? Okay, to have fellowship. So what they're talking about? What do you think they would be talking about? All kinds, right? Talking about all kinds, yeah? Something that they have in common, yeah? But I believe that one of those conversations they have is about dominion. Yeah? It's about dominion. We are to have dominion or dominate. But one cannot operate on dominion or to dominate with unrenewed mind. I mean, we can recite scriptures, but that doesn't mean that your mind is renewed. Because you until you are a doer of that word, until you see the evidence that until you are for sure, you know, then you're operating in that, then yeah, your mind is renewed. Renewing. Okay? You know, every morning, I give off my tithe, meaning God first, right? God first. I put my 10% in the morning. I give my tithe. Yeah, and of course, in my time with him, could be in worshiping, could be praying, could be in a word, whatever that I'm led to do. Yeah, and then during the day, what are we going to do with after I tithe? You know, what the rest of the 90% are going to be doing? What would you be doing? Huh? There are times that I just, during the day, I mean, I could be working. Could be repairing or troubleshooting machines, but my mind is always on him. He never left. Yeah? Yeah? He never left my mind. He's always there. And you know what? I have peace when I do that. Yeah, you guys experienced that, right? Yeah, when your mind stayed on him, yeah, that shall give him a perfect peace whose mind was stayed on thee because he trusted in you. He trusted in thee. Isaiah, right? So, but what if, because there are times that I don't do that. I give my tithe, but sometimes my mind is occupied with something else. The other kinds, yeah? And then that's when I lose my mind. I lost my ways, you know? I'm not acting the way I'm supposed to be acting, yeah? I do it, I give my 10%, but then the other 90% are doing something else. So how can my mind be renewed in that? Huh? My mind cannot be renewed. We're just giving 10%, but the 90% you're doing your own thing. Amen? Romans 12, this very, the scripture is very familiar, okay? In fact, let's go in there. Romans 12. You guys getting anything? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, a very familiar scripture. But a very familiar scripture, and is that it? Are we doing it? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You know, when you do something in a consistent basis, it's more likely that you enjoy what you are doing, right? So, when I put my 10%, I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God. I see, I'm presenting my body now before God, right? Okay? To be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. But sometimes, I present my body into something else. Instead of God, is something that is not holy, something that is worldly. You know what I mean? Yeah? I hope everybody do that all the time, consistently. That's all. Yeah. Like I said, what you're doing with your 90% of the day. Or do you even give your 10%? Oh, boy. Yeah, so if you do something that is in a consistent basis, it's more than likely you enjoy what you're doing. So if you are fellowshipping with the Lord consistently, then you're enjoying him. Yeah? You are enjoying his presence. Amen. You are enjoying him. You enjoy his presence, and in his presence, he reveals things to you. Yeah? He reveals answers. Revelation knowledge come. And that is how we can take dominion. When revelation knowledge come, yeah? Then you know that you know that it is yours. Then you can have dominion. You don't have, you know, you don't have to allow these things coming into your mind. You can have dominion. No, that's not my flow. Right? Right, Pastor? That's not my flow. Get away from me. I cast you down. Yeah? But if you're not renewed, we just allow those things to bombard your mind. Yeah? So yeah, he reveals answers, revelation, knowledge comes, and that is how you can take dominion. When you know that you know. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 2. He says, I know your works, your labor. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to start with verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. You know what does Ephesus mean? Ephesus means a desirable or darling. Yeah. How's that? Ephesus. We are God's Ephesus. Yeah. It is something that a Greek, when they become a husband to be, yeah, then he affixes the one that he about to marry. You know, that's what they say to them. Yeah, my darling, my desire. So we are God's bride. Amen. I desire my bride. This thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered, have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. I mean, just read all that. I mean, aren't they doing good? I mean, the works that they're doing, right? I mean, these guys are laboring for the Lord. Yeah? I mean, the works that they are doing, they're laboring. But then verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have this against you, okay? That you have left your first love. You know what? Let me read this in Amplified. I want to read this in Amplified with Pastor Carol's favorite translation. He says, I'll go verse 1 again. To the angel, messenger of the assembly, which is the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches. In his right hand, who goes about among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. Okay? Verse 2 says, I know your industry and activities. Laborious toil. Yeah, laborious toil. I mean, these guys are working. Right? And trouble. Okay? And your patience, endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, which are special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. See, I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. So these guys are doing good. Right? Yeah. But, there's a but. I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Amen. So here we are, you know, laboring for the Lord. Doing good things, you know. You know, when you are having a fellowship with God, yeah, and He began to have a revelation with you, when you're doing the first thing, placing Him first, yeah, and you have revelation. And then He give you a revelation to start a new ministry or a job or whatever. And you do it, yeah? And with the power of God, the anointing was with you. But then again, it says that you begin to kind of shy away from God's presence, yeah? You're just doing the works now, yeah? And maybe they are not being as anointed as was before, yeah? The power of God is not there anymore. Because it says, verse 5, remember then from where, what heights you have fallen. Okay? Repent. Change the inner man to meet God's will and do the works you did previously. Okay? When first you knew the Lord, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent. So these guys are working hard. Yeah? No doubt about that. They're doing the work of the Lord. But then yet, they lost their first love. The things that they used to do first, when that's how they got revelation knowledge, that they should do this and they should do that. Yeah? And they lost all that. Yeah? But then God said, you know what? Come back. Come back to where you was started at first. Yeah? So that I don't have to remove your anointing. Amen. Amen. Oh. Did you guys receive anything? I mean, Hadoop Pastor, it's going to be short, but it's going to be good. Yeah. Amen. So guys, get back. If you're not doing it, get back into that place of how you started, yeah? Placing the Lord first in everything, yeah? When you go to your job, place Him first. When you're talking stories or whatever you're doing, you place Him first, okay? You know, at one time the Lord told me, you know what? I want you to filter everything that you do with my love. With God's love. You filter everything with God's love. Then you cannot go wrong. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's short, but, you know, it's good, right? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, If there's one word that touched you tonight, and then it's all worth it, and I give God all the glory and all the honor, yeah? Even if just one word that have encouraged you, you know, to go step more forward, more advanced, yeah? Then it's all worth it, yeah? Anybody need prayer? In fact, you know, if any of this that I have said that challenge your heart, and then if, you know, if your heart is kind of like what Pastor always said, fluttering, then God is speaking to you that He wants you to come back into that place where you once was.